it's hard work. And mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, I always want to, when I work with a client, explain that to them, that it's going to be uncomfortable, it's going to be hard, but you're going to feel stronger.
Welcome to the Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast, where we focus on health, wellness, and overcoming all types of addictions. You're in the right place if you're a mom, dad, friend, sibling, or caregiver who has a loved one who is or was struggling with an eating disorder or any other kind of addiction. In a time when everything seems heavy, I'm here to bring you a real yet lighthearted take on what the heck we are all supposed to do with our lives while we care for our loved ones who are struggling. One thing holds true throughout it all. You can't juggle the chaos without smiling, at least a little bit. All right, well, welcome to another episode of the Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast. My name is Moira Gorski. I'm your host, and I'm so glad that you have come back to listen, or if this is your first time, welcome. Another one of my favorite shows where I get to interview people that I know, people that I have met along my journey of life. And today is a special day where I'm bringing to you a psychotherapist who I've met in my work in networking and as a wellness advocate and entrepreneur. I've met her in some of the networking arenas that I've been in. And I was just so impressed with the work that she does to help people. And I wanted to bring her on here so you could meet her. So let me read to you who she is and what she's all about. And then we can have Sam get talking. So today we have Samantha Bill Erlenbach, and she is a licensed psychotherapist, national speaker, and entrepreneur. She owns two businesses. One is a clinical practice called The Centered Life, and the other is a social platform and business coaching company called Dare to End Anxiety. Sam is an expert in helping people put an end to an anxiety that gets in the way of their life and business. Most people think living with anxiety is just something you have to learn to accept, but Sam teaches her clients that there are real strategies to overcome it. When clients work with her, they are given a roadmap of how to build resilience to gain complete control and confidence in their life. So welcome, Sam. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and just be a part of this. Thank you for inviting me to come on.
Oh, you're very welcome. Very welcome. Yeah, I'm interested to learn a little bit more. I know we've talked a little bit as we've been in different meetings and whatnot, but I'm really interested to learn about, I always love to know how people got to where they are today. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your story and again, how you got to where you are today. And since this is a podcast about addictions and dealing with addictions, you know, were there any addictions in your family growing up?
Yeah. So, there wasn't necessarily like, per se, like specific addictions, but I think through like my journey of like my own therapy journey as a client and as a therapist, I can absolutely kind of look at those family patterns and see that a lot of the anxiety that like I had internalized growing up or had seen was around me. And my family really does struggle with this high anxiety, and I could see different outlets of distractions and trying to like find ways to deal with that stress and anxiety in kind of unhealthy ways, and not in a judgmental way, but just I can observe how easy that is to fall into different, maybe, you know, obsessive behaviors or different types of addiction. So I can kind of see that looking back, that some of those things were definitely there.
Mm-hmm. So how did you decide to do what you're doing today? Or how did you get to be a therapist?
Yeah. So for me, kind of, I was a kid and a teenager that was extremely, I had severe anxiety. You know, it was that kid and teen that would get stomach aches and I wouldn't sleep at night and very perfectionistic and like worried what people thought. But on the outside, I'm very extroverted. So that's the kind of the thing that it wasn't until later in life that I told people how much I suffered with anxiety. They were like, there's no way Sam does. Like, you got to be mm-hmm. kidding me. And that's such a common theme with people with anxiety that have that extroverted personality, is inside it feels so overwhelming and so scary, but you kind of put on this face. And so that was kind of my journey growing up and through different times in my life. You know, I'm really grateful that my parents were advocates for therapy at a time like that, that I had gotten involved and had that space to learn at a young age that, you know, this is anxiety and there are things to kind of work with this. And then kind of throughout college, that anxiety persisted. And it wasn't until I had started to work with, you know, a therapist that was like, kind of like, okay, I'm going to teach you coping skills, but you got to kind of face this stuff. And then you know, I was always the person that wanted to help everyone, kind of that people pleaser. I loved it. I loved being there for people, but almost to the extreme of where I didn't take care of me. And I can kind of see that now. And so being a therapist just seemed very natural. You know, I could really empathize with people, very sensitive person, and just loved helping. So then through my own journey of being a therapist and kind of, like I said, my own passion for anxiety and overcoming that and doing my own personal work, it just kind of fit that I wanted to then be this expert in it, and I'd become an expert in it. And that my why is much more than just helping people through therapy. It's, you know, not that every therapist has to experience with their clients experience, absolutely not, but I love working with people who struggle with anxiety, and I've been there and I get it. So I think going through it and now being on the other side of it and getting to help clients through that is kind of how I am today. And then last year I was like, I want to help, you know, as a therapist, I can only help so many people face to face doing weekly therapy. So I kind of wanted to get creative on how can I take my expertise? Like, I love teaching, I love educating, I love doing talks. How do I kind of leverage this to reach more people and help more people? Because, as you know, I know people with anxiety, a lot of times, one, they think they're the only one, and two, they don't want to tell anyone about it. So I wanted to create this kind of brand that you could have access to a therapist if you struggle with anxiety and kind of work through that and not feel alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, definitely, you know, that was part of the reason why I wanted to start this podcast too, is just so that people didn't feel like they were alone in their struggles. And also another gal that I interviewed, we talked about how we're experts based on experience, right?
Yeah.
So we become experts on in what we go through, you know, because of the experience that we have. And then another thing that popped up to me when you were talking is, like, we can't fix what we cannot face, right? So when we can face things, then we can fix them. So yeah, talk to me about anxiety, because I certainly know that my daughter has struggled with, you know, what she calls definitely anxiety. We've had some anxiety, certainly in the other people in this house. And I hear a lot, as I've heard through different therapies and whatnot, is, again, we're just going to manage find coping skills or find things so that we can manage the anxiety, but it'll never go, you know, never truly go away. And as I've heard you speak, you really believe that the anxiety can disappear, right?
Yeah, I kind of want to first talk about, so when you think about the cycle of anxiety, and it's kind of like the first thing I ever teach anyone is that, right, you have this thing that creates anxiety and kind of the way that we're built in our brains and body, right? And so a lot of times in different therapies or coaching, a lot of, and I'm not saying that these are bad coping skills, I think there's value in them, but it is like, how do we distract and avoid from our anxiety so we feel better? And so what that teaches us is that when we feel anxious, we do something, avoid and distract from the things that make us anxious, or the thoughts that we have that are anxious, you know, it just creates longer term anxiety. And so my approach is like, no, we're not going to give you short term relief. What we're going to do, it is going to be uncomfortable. And kind of how I do that is a type of therapy called exposure and response prevention. It's kind of like working out, right? Like if you have a good diet and you work out, you're healthy, and it's, but you have to maintain that. So a lot of times people are like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do the work and it's gonna go away. But I have clients that, like, they come back because they have to maintain that. But what we kind of do is I have my clients make a massive list of all the things that make them anxious, all the behaviors they do, because a lot of times, because it's so automatic to distract and avoid and want reassurance for your anxiety, that we don't even notice how often we do those things. So kind of teaching my clients, okay, what are all the things you do to avoid your anxiety? And it's just day-to-day things like, oh, I don't go to the store alone, or, you know, oh, I like double check before I run a credit card because it makes me anxious to get a decline. Like, there's all kinds of ways that anxiety shows up for people. And so we kind of set, you know, it's like a hierarchy from, you know, behaviors that bring a little bit of anxiety all the way up to all the things that make you super anxious. And so what I do with my clients is, each week I set, you know, homework, and I do it with them. You know, part of exposure therapy as a therapist is I go out of my office with them and do these things to kind of teach them, like, you have nothing to be scared of. And I tell this all the time, you can't think or talk someone out of anxiety long-term. You have to go right through it. You have to do the things that make you anxious. It's the only way to really put an end to it. So kind of that model of what are all those things, and then how do we creatively set up little exposures, little homework, that you're going to do the thing that makes you anxious, and then you're just going to sit in that anxiety. you know, I've had clients in my office that were doing something and they're having a panic attack. And, you know, most people would think, oh, you know, bring them water, help them deep breathe. And I just sit with them and I keep telling them, you can handle this. Like, your anxiety, it's going to go away, but sit with it, go to it. People are so uncomfortable, you know, on their fight and flight's going, they don't want to feel that way. And so kind of the thing when I start working with clients is I let them know, in a safe way, we're going to make you uncomfortable. And if we have to kind of modify as we go, we can, but it's going to be uncomfortable. And that just means it's working. And so making my clients on purpose uncomfortable is the goal, because what happens is a lot of times as we're doing this, every client I've ever worked with is like, oh my gosh, it's so much easier than I think. Hmm. Or they kind of like almost like jump exposures. They're like, oh, that's good. Like, I'm not worried about that anymore. So it's cool, but it is being creative, but it's hard work. And mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, I always want to, when I work with a client, explain that to them, that it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be hard, but you're going to feel stronger. It's kind of like, again, like working out. I kind of always give this metaphor. When you're working out and your body hurts, it means you're getting stronger. And it's the same thing. The more uncomfortable you are, and the more that you're facing these things that bring the anxiety up and you go to the anxiety, the more resilient you become. And then it doesn't affect you anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And how many times do we all, I'll just say myself, you know, like you said, we kind of avoid things so that we don't get hurt or we don't feel anxious. So we've learned enough over the years that if I do this, I don't really feel that good. So I'm just not going to do it. But that's really not the best way to live our life, right? That's not the way that we can live our best life if we're just avoiding things that make us uncomfortable or unhappy or nervous. Right?
Yeah, and it's kind of, yeah, and the mindset is like, you know, you don't want short-term relief, you want long-term functioning.
Right. And I have been exposed to the exposure work with, you know, Eating Recovery Center, ERC is one of the, mm-hmm. You know, facilities that's here locally to us, and they have locations all over the United States. But that was when my daughter was there in Chicago. That was the first time that we were exposed to exposure work. And I think it's brilliant. Again, you have to be able to not just talk about what's going on, but actually go experience it. And then, as she would say, process through it, you know? And, yeah. You know, how did that make you feel? And how could you do it differently next time? And I think it's really, really interesting work. I've seen it with the eating disorder population and also OCD, some different yeah. OCD treatments too. Have you worked with people that have had, you know, like addictions or eating disorders or struggles around that to kind of stay in recovery or?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't specialize in like the substance abuse or eating disorders, but, you know, obviously in working with anxiety, one of the kind of avoidance distraction things, a lot of people will use substances or they'll use food. Mm-hmm. I mean, how often are you like, I'm so stressed out? And people will say this, like, you know, if I just need a drink, or I just need to take that melatonin at night, or, you know, if I just like eat this really comfort food, like my stress goes away. And right, that's a very minimal example. But when that is your go-to all the time, it is very easy for things like substance abuse disorders and eating disorders to stem from anxiety and wanting to avoid and have something that makes it go away. Mm-hmm. So I do see that in my work. You know, if I do have someone that's kind of on the extreme side, I will work with another therapist to kind of both of us manage that. But yeah, there are all different kinds of behaviors that people do with food and substances to cope.
Mm-hmm. Right, to cope and kind of numb themselves out so they don't have to deal with, you know, what's going on. Would you say that there's a certain age population that you work with, or do you kind of work with, you know, teenagers through older adults or?
Yeah, I typically, you know, I'll do kind of like the preteen, so kind of as young as 12 up through adults. The kid anxiety, I refer, you know, I have child therapists at my practice that we do that for. But yeah, kind of the teens and the adults are kind of my main focus.
Mm-hmm. And would you say, like, how long have you been a therapist?
9 years.
9 years. Have you seen a shift in, like, I guess the age of the people that you're treating, like to be younger or like a severity? Or, I mean, I ask that because it just seems like the kids these days, you know, the teenagers and young adults are really dealing with a lot more anxiety and depression and mental health struggles. So have you seen that in your practice?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that anxiety is higher than ever. I think, you know, low self-esteem is, you know, higher than ever. And so a lot of that is being caused, you know, I know a lot of people say this, you know, social media or the internet, but, you know, again, right, anxiety is all about, anxiety makes us feel like I want something right now to make it go away. And so when you have, you know, a society that's built around struggling with delayed gratification, mm-hmm. right, if I post this, I want an answer right now, or if I'm looking for something, I want it right now, I want Amazon to bring me my item right now, you're creating a society, right, and we all do it,
right,
that when you want something, you want it now, and you have access to get it now, whether that's social interaction or posting something or getting a like or getting that reinforcement of how smart you are, how pretty you are, that I think our teens, right, then you take a teen who emotionally is not fully developed, their brain's not fully developed, and then they get that, you know, they don't have to worry about the delayed gratification, whether it's their parents or the school or however that looks, that they're not put in positions, unless someone like me does, that makes mm-hmm. them uncomfortable and makes them take a pause. You know, some of my teens, you know, they check their grades 5 times a day, right? Because that grade means so much. And so I'm kind of the one that's like, no, we're not doing that anymore. And so, but we are in a societal systems that I think perpetuate a lot of stress and anxiety mm-hmm. more so than ever.
Right, right. And, you know, the time that we're recording this, we're deep in the midst of the coronavirus. So anxiety is high and much higher today than, you know,
absolutely.
Even that heightened that we're in normally these days. And so, again, you're a therapist and you see people individually, and then you have this Dare to Anxiety, End Anxiety company. So do you do like group coaching? Do you do classes, online learning with that? How is that different than, you know, seeing clients individually?
Yeah. So Dare to Anxiety has kind of like multiple platforms right now. So I do, you know, like mindset coaching with entrepreneurs that struggle with fear and anxiety. You know, obviously that puts people outside their comfort zone a lot. And so because I am an entrepreneur myself, and in the beginning of my business journey had similar anxieties and fears come up from my past that I was like, okay, here, this is again, how do I deal with that? So I do, you know, private coaching and group coaching for those entrepreneurs through Dare to End Anxiety. And then I also have, you know, a free group through Dare to End Anxiety that is being launched actually this week. That is a free online support group for anyone who struggles with anxiety, teens, adults, no matter the variety, to kind of have a space to ask me questions or have access to resources. And I will be uploading like different informational things and talks and have a, again, like I said, a space where they can ask those questions. You know, times people with anxiety, you know, they have it all hours of the day. And so when that person's late at night with their mind racing, you know, where can they go to kind of feel that they have a place to be heard or a place to build that resilience? Mm-hmm. And then kind of developing courses to give people that they can have, right? Like, how do I do this on my own? And how can I just reach more people with that expertise to give people in their hand? I love giving people resources mm-hmm. so they don't feel like they can't handle this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Sounds exciting for today and what's to come for, how you can help people. Always like to ask about books because I love to read. So are there any books that you recommend for people if they're dealing with day-to-day anxiety or even if it's just for life? I mean, do you have any favorite books?
I would say probably like my favorite book is, I know a lot of people have probably heard of this one, Brené Brown, The Gifts of Imperfection. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of goes deeper into, right, because there's an anxiety piece and we do a lot of behavior work with that. But I love integrating elements of like shame, you know, like at the basis down of anxiety and that self-criticism is people who struggle with shame and being hard on themselves. And so that book, I think, does a really good job of explaining that, how shame and anxiety go hand in hand and how to kind of challenge that perfectionism. So that's kind of any client I've ever worked with, that is like my recommendation. And then like, okay, it all sounds great. Now what? I'm like, now I'm going to take the book and we're going to do some mm-hmm. stuff with it. But that's a go-to. And to be honest, there's a lot of workbooks on Amazon I always recommend. I don't have them by name now, but if you just search like exposure anxiety workbooks, there's a lot that I give to my clients for them to do outside a session to kind of have that resource there. And then another good one that I'm actually just reading now is called The Confidence Gap. Hmm. is another good book. It kind of is, again, you know, facing that fear and how do you do that in a way to kind of overcome the anxiety or the lack of self-confidence versus just kind of, you know, avoiding it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I've read The Gift of Imperfection many years ago. That's a good.
You like it?
I did like it. Yeah, it's a good one. It's one of those ones I gave away, so I'm not sure that I even have my copy here. So just that mention of it reminds me to, you know, we can always revisit the books that we read, you know, to learn.
Absolutely.
And I feel like even just reading them again, you know, a couple of years later, or just you're at a different place in your life. And I find that just picking up a book at a different time can really, it can speak to you differently than it did, you know, the first time you read it.
Well, yeah, I think I always like, because yeah, I've read that one like three different times. And I think each time I like pulled something that like didn't really mean a whole lot like 2 years ago now is like in the forefront of what I take away.
Yeah.
So that's always nice to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is just kind of a fun question. Occasionally I'll ask this is, would you say that you are a dog or a cat person?
I'm definitely a dog person.
Yeah. Do you have a dog yourself?
I don't right now, but I always grew up with dogs and had them. And I keep telling my husband, I'm like, you know, we're in the middle of moving right now with kind of everything, the chaos, everything that's happening. It's kind of on pause, but I'm like the first, I'm like, wouldn't a dog be so great right now, especially with like being isolated or, that's like the first thing. I'm like, I don't want a bedroom set or like a dining room table. I need a dog.
Right.
So for me, very much a dog person.
Yeah. Well, then I was just talking to some ladies today before we got on this. And, again, it's an anxious, uncertain time right now. And a couple people, we were just asking each other, you know, how we kind of come back to center and how we're grounding ourselves. And, you know, what I said was, or what are those constants in the unchangeables that are around us? And I said, my dog, you know, Snickers is always here and he doesn't know what's going on. And he can certainly feel anxiety in the house. I think they're very intuitive animals, but he's always by my side and that's always a nice constant. And even just mentioning that, I know that I've seen in different treatment centers, occasionally they'll have, you know, the dogs come in to visit the girls or visit the patients. And that's kind of, it's
yeah, just, I always welcome if my clients have like cats or dogs or, you know, these companions that like are that kind of safety piece for them. I always allow them to bring them into my office. Even if they're just sitting there while you're talking, and because I just know how important that is for people, especially in the beginning of therapy with all of this, as they're getting to know me and kind of facing all this, like, can I bring my dog or cat? And I'm like, I love animals, absolutely. So I'm a huge fan of when people have like their companions.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, as we finish this up today, is there anything, you know, kind of in conclusion, you know, what would you want our listeners to know, or what would you kind of like to leave the listeners with today in regards to anxiety, the work that you do, hope in their life, and, you know, what would you like?
I think anxiety is this thing that lies to us so often, and it kind of makes us feel, you know, what's wrong with me? I'm the only person that thinks this way. I'm the only person that, you know, has to deal with this or that struggles with this. Everyone else is so confident and okay. And I think it's knowing that everyone struggles with anxiety to some degree, and that, you know, the way that if you are someone who is overwhelmed by anxiety, that there's so many people who struggle with it, just they don't talk about it, and you are not alone. You know, I work with hundreds of people that, you know, there are days where I have clients, you know, I have 8 clients back to back, and they all say the same thing of, oh my gosh, is this just me? Why am I the only person who thinks this way or overthinks, or why is my brain this way? And it's knowing that it's not you. There's nothing wrong with you. That's how anxiety works. And you are not alone. And there are ways to overcome this that you don't have to feel that anymore. And in any way that I could help, you know, my website's www.daretoendanxiety.com. You know, my email is samantha@daretoendanxiety.com. I love when people contact me like, hey, this is what's going on. How can you help? Because you can overcome it. And like I always say, like I'm my first testimonial. Like I used to have horrible anxiety and now I don't. And it's so freeing. And I just want everyone to feel that way that struggles with anxiety. And you can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it's really great work that you do. And again, I feel like some of the best teachers and counselors and therapists and whatnot are those that have gone through it themselves. And you obviously have. You've lived it and you've created a way that you can help other people who went through what you went through. So I think that's great. I'm so thankful that you joined me here today, Sam. And again, I will put all the contact information in the show notes, but is the www.daretoendanxiety.com, or you can email Samantha at daretoendanxiety.com. And again, thanks for coming here and talking today. Yeah, during this anxious time, I thought it so appropriate that we had this scheduled for today. But again, thanks for joining us. And to all you listeners, thank you for coming back and to listening. It means a whole lot. I just, again, don't want people to feel like they are alone in their journey of juggle or struggle, or they're just their journey of life, and that we're all here to support each other and to help help share things so that we can just get along and live our best life. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening. Do you feel like your juggling of your chaos is just too much and you want to reclaim your life and health? I'm here to help. I offer free 30-minute consultations where I can show you simple steps to help you get back on track. If you're interested, please connect with me. You can do that simply by reaching out on Instagram and send me a DM at Green Gorski, or email me at Moira@GorskiWellness.com. Moira spelled M-O-Y-R-A. I look forward to hearing from you, and take care.